ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम अज्ञान तिमिरं। हरे कृष्ण। रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 8 चैप्टर 19 वर्स 41। परागृक्तं पूर्णं वा अक्षरं यत्तमोमिति तदोमिति यत्किञ्चिदोमिति ब्रूयात् तेनरिच्छेत वै पुमान् भिक्षवे सर्वमोङ्कुर्वान् नालं कामेन चात्मने। ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्री भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रीला प्रभुपाद। श्रीला प्रभुपाद की जय। द अटरेंस ऑफ द वर्ड ओम सिग्निफाइज सेपरेशन फ्रॉम वन्स मॉनेटरी एसेट्स। इन अदर वर्ड्स, बाय अटरिंग दिस वर्ड वन बिकम्स फ्री फ्रॉम अटैचमेंट टू मनी बिकॉज हिज मनी इज टेकन अवे फ्रॉम हिम। टू बी विदाउट मनी इज नॉट वेरी सैटिस्फैक्टरी, फॉर इन दैट पोजिशन वन कैनॉट फुलफिल वन्स डिजायर्स। इन अदर वर्ड्स, by using the word om one becomes poverty stricken, especially when one gives charity to a poor man or beggar, one remains unfulfilled in self realization and in sense gratification. Purport. Maharaj Bali wanted to give everything to Vaman Dev, who had appeared as a beggar, but Shukracharya, being Maharaj Bali's familial spiritual master in the line of seminal succession, could not appreciate Maharaj Bali's promise. Shukracharya gave Vedic evidence that one should not give everything to a poor man. Rather, when a poor man comes for charity, one should untruthfully say, "Whatever I have given you, I have already given you. I have no more." It is not that one should give everything to him. Actually, the word Om is meant for Om Tat Sat, the absolute truth. Omkar is meant for freedom from all attachment to money, because money should be spent for the purpose of the Supreme. The tendency of modern civilization is to give money in charity to poor. Such charity has no spiritual value, because we actually see that although there are so many hospitals and other foundations and institutions for the poor, according to three modes of material nature, a class of poor men is always destined to continue. Even though there are so many charitable institutions, poverty has not been driven away from humanity. Therefore, it is recommended here, Bhikshave Sarvam Om Kurvan Nalam Kamena Chatmane. One should not give everything to beggars among the poor. The best solution is that of the Krishna consciousness movement. This movement is always kind to the poor, not only because it frees them, but also because it gives them enlightenment by teaching them how to become Krishna conscious. We are therefore opening hundreds and thousands of centers for those who are poor, both in money and in knowledge, to enlighten them in Krishna consciousness and reform their character by teaching them how to avoid illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating and gambling, which are the most sinful activities and which cause people to suffer life after life. The best way to use money is to open such a center where all may come, live and reform their character. They may live very comfortably without denial of any of the body's necessities, but they live under spiritual control, and thus they live happily and save time for advancement in Krishna consciousness. If one has money, it should not be squandered away on nothing. It should be used to push forward the Krishna consciousness movement so that all of human society will become happy, prosperous and hopeful of being promoted back home, back to Godhead. The Vedic mantra in this regard reads as follows: Paragva etad riktam aksharam yad etad omiti tad yad kinchid omiti ahat taivasmai tad richate sa yad sarvam om kuryat richad atmanam sa kamebhyo nalam syat. So before I begin, I pay my respectful obeisances and to all those who are assembled here. Some of you are my Shiksha Gurus sitting here, Vishwarup Prabhu, Baldev Prabhu. I have been learning Krishna consciousness from all of you. So please accept my humble obeisances and bless me that I can serve you properly. Actually, on Fridays, I have my DT worship. And I never attend Bhagavatam class because my chanting is always remaining. So I thought that I will get some karmic reaction that today nobody will be there. My Bhagavatam. But you know, devotees are merciful. They are here. So you see, typically the materialistic people, they are very concerned about wealth, poverty, miserliness, and magnanimity. You know, these things, people are very sensitive about these things. When we come in Krishna consciousness, we understand that these things are completely relative. You know, magnanimity and miserliness, these two are completely relative terms. Especially in light of Krishna consciousness, we understand that. For example, if you open the beginning chapters of Bhagavad Gita, then Arjuna speaks a series of statements, gives reasons why he should not fight the battle. And anybody will say that, you know, he's the most magnanimous person. How can you be so magnanimous? Actually, I will just read one set of verses which Arjuna speaks. And you will see, this is amazing. What Arjuna says in Bhagavad Gita in the first chapter. Chapter 32, the verse 32-35. He says, O Govinda, of what avail to us are a kingdom, happiness, or even life itself, when all those for whom we may desire them are now arrayed in this battlefield? He's saying that even his life is useless. O Madhusudan, when teachers, fathers, sons, grandfathers, maternal uncles, father-in-law, grandsons, brothers-in-law, and other relatives are ready to give up their lives and properties and are standing before me, why should I wish to kill them even though they might otherwise kill me? And whom is he talking this about? You know, he's talking about people who have tried to strip his wife naked in public. They have tried to burn him alive. It's a very gruesome activity. They have tried to feed him poison. About such people, and now they're standing in front of him to kill him. And about them, he says that, you know, why should I kill them? You know, that philosophy of that that scorpion and the saintly person. The scorpion cannot give his nature, but why should I give the nature? Give up the nature. So, isn't this very magnanimous? It's absolutely. And then later on he says, what pleasure will I derive from killing the sons of Dhritarashtra? Now this is very specific. That is not talking about just Bhishma, Pitama and Dronacharya. Speaking about all the sons of Dhritarashtra also. And so this is absolutely magnanimous statement. And some of the freedom fighters of our great nation, India also, they were very impressed by such magnanimous statements of Arjuna. But then how Arjuna himself concludes that? In later chapter, he says it is simply Karpanya Dosho. It is simply my miserliness. And when Krishna responds to that, he says, Arjuna, you are impotent. And miserliness is much a simpler and a sweet word. Krishna says, you are impotent. Impotent means, you know, you stand on signals and those people come to beg from you. You know. And Arjuna was like that for some time. And like that, he actually conquered all the Kauravas. And here, he's in a full male body and he's saying that, you know, I will not do like that. So Krishna says that you are impotent, Arjuna. You can't do anything. Right? So we have to understand the word miserliness and magnanimity in a relative perspective. And another, just imagine about all different incarnations of Krishna. Now yesterday was one wonderful day of appearance of Lord Narasingadev. And what did Narasingadev do? Prahlad Maharaj was, according to his father, a spoiled brat. If Hiranyakashipu had a lawyer and he had to make a will, he would have definitely not given a single penny to Prahlad Maharaj. And I think he was not the only son also. I think he was the fifth son or something like that. Definitely Prahlad Maharaj would not have gone any asset of Hiranyakashipu. Right? But Narasingadev came, he killed Hiranyakashipu and made him the king of the entire demon race. And then Lord Ramchandra, he killed Sugriv. What was Sugriv? He was like a hopeless monkey. He lost his wife. Oh, sorry. Killed Vali. And he gave Sugriv the entire kingdom of Kishkindha. Made him a king. And then Bibhishan, he had betrayed his brother and come to surrender Lord Ramchandra. Made him the king of the entire Lanka. And what to speak of Lord Krishna? That lady who came to give fruits to Lord Krishna, she became a millionaire overnight. The florist who came to serve Krishna, he became a millionaire overnight. Sudama Brahman, he became a billionaire, multi-billionaire overnight. So many. Now just see the life of another incarnation of Krishna, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, top class home minister, chief minister. After becoming Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they became beggars. Pratap Rudra Maharaj, he is already a king. He wants to have darshan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he says, only if I become a beggar and wear the ivory ring, I'll get some darshan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And another great scholar, Keshav Kashmiri, his opulence is described in Chaitanya Chitamrut. He had when we go on street, even if the richest person now in Bombay, he has one Mercedes car at the most. But he don't have elephants going on both sides like that, and people singing and playing drums. That was Keshav Kashmiri. He met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he became a vagabond. And to this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Rupa Goswami, Acharya, he has studied all incarnations. He has studied Narsingadev, Krishna, Ramachandra, and he says this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the most magnanimous incarnation. After becoming him, you become a beggar. And he's the most magnanimous incarnation. So, of course, he explains why. So, Namo Mahavadanyaya, what is the reason? Krishna Parima Pradayate. Because he gives Krishna. So, what is so special about Krishna Prem? In the today's society, we generally judge the growth, the economic growth of a nation, the economic growth of a city, based on the purchasing power of an individual. You open any book of economics or commerce, How do you know whether it's a growing economy or it's a, if you go to Greece right now, the economy is doomed because people don't have purchasing power. They can't purchase. If they want something, they will think twice. But India is supposed to be a booming economy because people are purchasing. One flat they purchase, they are not satisfied. They'll buy another flat, in the second flat, third flat. Let people stay on the street. Let them stay on the rental houses. But I will have 5 flats. Why? Because purchasing power. So if one has this Krishna Prema Pradayate, what is the purchasing power of that person? He can purchase Krishna. He has a power to purchase the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Parayasya yo ajita jito apiste trilokyam. He can, and yesterday's whole festival was a testimony of this fact. Both festivals. One festival was the appearance of Narsingadev. Another festival was the appearing of Radharaman. We all know the story of Radharaman. Our Vishwarupa Prabhu tells very nicely that Gopal Bhatta Goswami, he was one of the 6 Goswamis, our Acharyas. He was bathing in Gandaki River in Nepal. He was trying to offer oblations. And suddenly these few Shaligram Shilas were just jumping into his hands. So he's trying to put them back, but they were still jumping back. So he said, okay, what to do? So he got them back to Vrindavan. He started worshipping them very nicely. And after some time, one rich merchant came. He got beautiful jewelry, dresses, crowns for various deities of Vrindavan. And other Goswamis, they were actually the chief worshippers, or these deities were their Aradhya Daivat. They were actually, they were Aradhya Daivat of these Goswamis. And what was Aradhya Daivat of Gopal Bhatta Goswami? Just one Shaligram Shila. So, he was thinking that, this beautiful jewelry, crown, dresses are there. But, what can I put on my wonderful Shaligram Shila? At the most, I can put a crown. That also, I have to put so many Jhandu flowers to support it. We see in Janardhan Shila. You can't, putting a crown is very difficult. So, he was thinking, so what to do? And he was giving Bhagavatam class. And it happened to be the Narsingha Jayanti. And as he was giving Bhagavatam class, he realized that he spoke about Narsingadev's appearance. And he just had a thought that if Lord is so merciful, that just to prove the words of his devotee, he can appear through a pillar, he can might as well appear through a Shaligram Shila. He just thought like that. He didn't speak to anybody. He just thought. It was just a mind. And then, as our Prabhuji says, I'll demonstrate it to you. It looks very nice. You have? This is I like this part of the story the best. So in the night, Gopal Bhatta Goswami went and he put like this. He put a nice bed sheet on Shaligram Shila. He put them to rest and he also went to rest. And then the next day morning, Gopal Bhatta Goswami came. The bed sheet was like this. And he was like, oh, what is that? And then he opened the cloth and then there was this beautiful, charming deity of Shri Shri Radharaman. Such wonderful deity who had the beautiful face of that of Gopinath, the chest and the waist of that of Govinda, and the legs of that of Madan Mohan, the feet, lotus feet of that of Lord Madan Mohan. Such beautiful deity. And I think that's the only deity in the entire creation in which Krishna is smiling so much that even his teeth are seen. I don't think any deity of, maybe Lord Jagannath, but you just see a plain white color there. You don't see articulated teeth. But the only deity of Lord where you can see teeth is Radharaman. I don't know how many of you have seen that. You can see his teeth. So beautiful, so articulate. And just see the power of Gopa Bhatta's devotion. Even when we perform, you know, Pranapatishtha ceremony, you know, a pure devotee goes inside, prays, everybody is doing massive kirtan. There was nothing like this. There was just a thought that came in his mind. No kirtan, not even expression of thought. And that was enough for the Pranapatishtha. And this whole magnanimous deity came out. Why? Because that was his purchasing power. He didn't have to go to Jaipur and pay a lot of money. And he just had to think. And this beautiful deity just came out of Shaligram Shila. That was his purchasing power. That's the purchasing power of a devotee. So therefore, this is magnanimity. Magnanimity and miserliness are very relative. And another thing which Shukracharya is emphasizing here is, you know, avoiding poverty and retaining wealth. And that also very nicely demonstrated in one of the, and whenever you're speaking about poverty and wealth, you have to speak about that particular devotee, and that is Golavacha Sridhar. You just can't miss him. And Sri Chaitanya Charitamrut, you know, it's so graphic. It actually explains, I mean, the poverty of Golavacha Sridhar is systematically explained. You know, that's the way, you know, acharyas are very wonderful in the writing style. So he says that, you know, what was his Golavacha Sridhar, you know, what was the business that he was doing? That is first thing. He was selling banana leaves. Now, I don't know how many of you have flight to Calcutta in aeroplane, but as soon as you see Calcutta city, the only thing that you see is banana trees on the top and coconut trees. The city is characterized by banana trees. That means practically, you don't need to be an owner of any garden also to have a banana tree. It's just growing like that. And that's what he was selling. He was selling the leaves of banana tree. And even within that leaves of banana tree, he was selling in the most reasonable price. And even within that most reasonable price, whatever profit he would make, he would give 50% to Mother Ganges. So what would retain with him? What was his purchasing power? Nothing. What was there with him? Few anas, that's all. And further than, acharyas go little beyond. So they say that, okay, then how was his clothing? So it's mentioned that there were more holes in his shirts than the shirt. There were more holes in his dhoti than the dhoti. And he had to simply tie it across the hole just to make it look nice. And his roof, we have a brilliant roof here. The Golavacha Sridhar, you know, there were more holes in the thatch. It was all, and then there was one pot which was like completely battered. And this is where it's all explained. Now just try to understand one thing, you know. In this world, which is the most expensive thing? What does Chanakya Pandit say? Which is the most costly thing? It is one moment of time. Right? You can't measure it because once it is gone, you can't, it's gone. And but still, you know, in Kali Yuga, we can't say that, you know, time is completely valueless. So they put some value to time, you know. So some turner or fitter in some workshop, you know, he may get 150 rupees per hour. Actually, time is invaluable, but still he gets some 150 rupees per hour of his time. And then if you go to some manager, you know, he will charge, say, 1,000 rupees per hour, maybe. I'm just giving an approximate figure. And then you go higher and still higher. As the person goes higher and higher, the value of his time, if you see someone like Srinath Ji Prabhu, his time is extremely precious. You can't even take one. And if you take someone like George Bush, right? No, sorry, Obama. And his time, one moment of Obama's time is so precious. And then like that you can go. And then above that you have demigods. And then there is Indra. And then there is Brahma. And then there is Lord Vishnu, who is simply an expansion of Lord Krishna. So how much is the value of one moment of time of Lord Krishna? And if that Krishna combines himself with Srimati Radharani and comes as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he's only going to live in this planet Earth for 48 years, how much is the value of that one moment of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? And that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to every day spend 2 to 3 hours of time with Kolo Jashidhar. That much. That was the purchasing power. Actually, and what he was doing for 2 to 3 hours with Kolo Jashidhar, what he was doing? Was he discussing Bhagavad Katha? He was kind of doing time pass. I mean, kind of. It was his pastime. It was his pastime. But it was kind of time pass. He was just arguing with him. It was, even Kolo Jashidhar sometimes, you know, he would feel that, why this Brahman boy is coming all the time? You know. And the most funny thing is, when Mahaprakash Leela was performed, and when Lord Chaitanya appeared and he said, what do you want? He said, I want that 2 to 3 hours every day. Now, he understood the value. 2 to 3 hours of Supreme Personality of Godhead doing time pass with you. Can you imagine? That was the purchasing power of Kolo Jashidhar. So, according to my understanding, he was the richest person in the entire human creation that have ever happened. He was the most rich person. No one can, you know, you can't demand that. Even with devotees sometimes, you know, you say, go running behind a devotee. Devotee, Prabhuji, Prabhuji, ek minute. And Prabhuji says, no, I don't have time. Devotees are so careful. Even when they send SMS, Prabhuji, do you have 5 minutes time? They don't even say what they want to speak to you. But here, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the mood of the greatest devotee, Srimati Radharani, so all combinations are there, he's spending 2 to 3 hours with Kolo Jashidhar. So that is the purchasing power of a devotee. This is how we understand the wealth of this material world. And what we see here in this particular purport is that is the wealth which Bali Maharaj is actually trying to get. The opportunity is coming to him on its door. Vamandev is there, right there. He's just going to ask, okay, give me. And you know, Bali Maharaj has already given him. Actually, what we hear in this series of shlokas is Shukracharya trying to convince, you know, why you should not surrender. This opportunity has come to you, but you don't surrender. Don't surrender to this Lord. And now I was hearing the class of Devamrut Swami, His Holiness Devamrut Swami Maharaj, on the same verse. Somehow I found it. It is there on the ISKCON Sydney website. You can go and hear it. So he tells this point. He says, this Bali Maharaj, you know, actually Shukracharya is telling so many things to Bali Maharaj, but there's nothing going inside. Bali Maharaj was simply attracted to the beauty of Vamandev. You know, he was just looking at Vamandev. He was feeling, my God, this boy is so beautiful. You know, he's just so beautiful. Let me just offer everything. So, Srila Prabhupada mentioned that this is the Raganuga Bhakti, the spontaneous Krishna consciousness. That means you don't worship Krishna for any reason. I mean, I like Krishna. Why? No, because he's Supreme Personality of Godhead. No, because Vyasadeva says this, because Narad Muni says this, because all Acharyas says this. So that Sadhana Bhakti platform, we have to know about it. But if you ask gopis, why do we love Krishna? They will not quote Vyasadeva and Bhagavad Gita and like that. They will say, because we love Krishna. There is no reason for it. So Vamandev, Bali Maharaj, for him there was no reason why he was liking Vamandev so much. He was just so beautiful. Actually, Srila Prabhupada later in some purports, he explains that Supreme Personality of Godhead, when he comes to this world, different incarnations manifest different opulences. So he explains that how Narsingadeva manifested the opulence of strength, Ramchandra manifested the opulence of fame, and he says Vamandev manifested the opulence of beauty. So all that beauty, the beauty is emanating. So whatever Shukracharya is telling, nothing is really going into his mind. So Devamrut Maharaj was saying that, how is it possible? You know, you have a spiritual master who is a hardcore demon. And generally it is mentioned that, you know, you can elevate to a particular level of Krishna consciousness to the extent your spiritual master can take you to. And a spiritual master can take you to a particular level on which he himself is. He can't take you beyond that. I have read this. Please correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah, I have read this in the scriptures. And therefore, we in a Vaishnava Sampradaya, there was a system of even offering your disciple. Okay. You know, like, there were so many disciples studying under Jiva Goswami. Because Jiva Goswami, you are great. You please take care of my disciple. You can elevate him in Krishna consciousness. And Shukracharya, he is absolutely hardcore materialist, has no attraction to Vishnu. And Bali Maharaj is manifesting spontaneous attraction to Vishnu. So how is it like that? He said, actually, Devamrut Maharaj mentioned that actually Bali Maharaj's spiritual master was Prahlad Maharaj. Shukracharya was just, as Prabhupada mentioned here, familial spiritual master in line of seminal succession. This is a very comprehensive statement. He's a familial spiritual master in line of seminal succession. The name also, it says Shukra. Shukra means semina. So Shukracharya means, you know, he was a line in spiritual master in that line. But Prahlad Maharaj, and And Narsingadeva, because Prahlad, he had already promised Prahlad Maharaj that all your 22 generations will get liberated. You know, that wonderful attraction for Krishna was there in Bali Maharaj, as Gaurang Prabhu explains in his classes, a sahaja. Sahaja bhakti. Sahaja saha means together and ja means born. That means as soon as you are born, the bhakti is born along with you. You don't have to do anything to get that bhakti. It's sahaja bhakti. So he just had that sahaja attraction. And despite him having this sahaja attraction, Shukracharya is saying, no, don't do that. And he's giving so many examples. So actually Shukracharya's mentality, you know, it's a mentality of a typical, very typical materialistic person. What is a philosophy of a devotee? The philosophy of a devotee is, yena kena prakarena mana Krishna niveshet. Do whatever possible. Someone is, you know, doing chandan there, you go and do chandan. Someone is doing, you know, offering flower, you go and offering. Somehow or the other, engage your mind in Krishna service. And a materialistic person philosophy is, some or the other, don't engage mind in Krishna service. Yena kena prakarena mana Krishna na niveshet. Niveshit on video game, niveshit on television, niveshit on internet, niveshit on newspapers, niveshit on whatever magazines, glossy papers and everything, but not Krishna. And this is very typical. So Devamuru Maharaj was explaining that this verse is not a very, it's not a very prominent verse. Prabhupada doesn't even mention the name of the scripture here. He just says it's a Vedic mantra. But Shukracharya, so intelligently, he has grabbed that mantra from somewhere and he's now presenting it to Bali Maharaj. Hey, it's Vedic reference, huh? Don't surrender. Some reason for not surrendering. You know, actually, the materialistic persons, how they behave. You know, my good wife was sharing with me one story. I don't have much time, actually. I'll just quickly cover. So, he was in her college days. She used to preach to one cousin of hers. And, you know, at that time there were no emails, so they used to send this, what is called as snail mails nowadays. So she used to send these snail mails, that means written mails, and then they would exchange. And it appeared in the first few mails that, you know, this guy is very interested in Krishna consciousness. So she also became little stronger in her, you know, mail next time. And then one time she was a little bit stronger, explaining that, you know, what is the use of this material life, and, you know, she surrendered to Krishna and everything, and that became really heavy for him. And he sent a huge mail after that. And I'm saying that, you know, as far as I am concerned, my mother and my father are my most worshipable objects. And I cannot do anything in this world which will go even 1% against their desire. I just can't do anything in this world. Which is just, you know, 1% against their desire. I can't do this Krishna consciousness now. You keep yourself. Don't talk about Krishna consciousness to me at all. And then later on, he graduated. Then and for further education, he went to United States of America. And typically it happens with many karmi. Actually, the mother and father also, you know, all mother and father would like the children to be with them and get studied. But I don't know, somehow when it happens about going to abroad and studying, they are very happy. No problem. You know, just go. No problem. Abroad, ja rahe na tu, no problem. Kidhar bhi ja. But going to temple, no, that's not good. So he went. And typically, as it happens with many Indian boys, he fell in love with an American girl. Not American, I think it's some European girl. And then, you know, then he wanted to marry her. And, you know, no matter how open-minded the parents are, they were very specific about choosing a daughter-in-law. Very choosy. Those who are running marriage bureaus, they will come to know. People are extremely choosy. So obviously, as soon as he said that I want to get married to this American girl, you know, the parents said, no way. And then he was trying to convince them to and fro, that I want to get married. And it was so much of competition and everything. And then ultimately, despite their desire, despite their heartbreaking, despite their, you know, completely despondency, he got married. You know, typically, if it happens to someone like that, you know, then you have to stay outside, because then, you know, those people don't want to come and stay in India. They don't like it. And then the greatest tension on the father is that, you know, when I die, would my son be there with me to at least give the agni to my body? Will he get the ticket of the flight to come? And it with a heavy heart, you know, the parents agreed that, okay, ultimately you get married. So when it came to loving, falling in love with Krishna, nobody cared about the parents. And the parents was put as immediately the cause, that this is why I don't want to fall in love with Krishna. And when it came with falling in love with the American girl, oh, parents are aside. I'll fall in love with anybody. You know? And that's what very much happens here This is the story. This is a live story. It has happened here, right here in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. Just before Bali Maharaj is trying to offer everything to Vamanadeva, the same big aristocratic demons, they offered their hearts to Mohini Murthy. It has happened right here. But Shukracharya did not have guts to come and say, hey, don't offer to Mohini Murthy. Why? Either, no, we can't say like that, he's Acharya. But, you know, because he knew, they are so attached to sense gratification, they are not going to listen to me. Right? And who is Mohini Murthy? He is Vishnu only. And what is that quality of Mohini Murthy to which demons are offering everything? That is her beauty only. And who is Vamandev? That is Vishnu only. And what is that is Bali, he is getting attracted to? Bali Maharaj. This is beauty only. You know? But, so what is causing, what is stopping Shukracharya? Actually, Bali Maharaj is just so gentle. Now later on when Shukracharya completes his statements, you know, Bali Maharaj did not just arrogantly say that, hey, you all guys surrender to Mohini Murthy, well, why are you stopping me from surrendering to Vamandev? He didn't say like that. He was very gentle. He gave some social, logical reasons of why, how the charity is so good and how actually I'll get fame and so on and so forth. So Dayamurtha Maharaj was actually explaining that, you know, as an expert devotee, Bali Maharaj restrained his ecstasies in his heart. He did not reveal them. That's one quality of a devotee. He does not. And also another teaching which Krishna gives in Bhagavad Gita. Don't give my message to those who don't have faith, those who are envious of me. So Bali Maharaj very effectively did not give any reasons of his attraction to Krishna as a reason for his giving all the property. No, very, very. But what we see here is that the same demons, they are surrendered fully to Vishnu. And here Bali Maharaj is trying to surrender. Shukracharya is saying no. So what is it that is really stopping him? And if you see all the arguments here, the main thing that points out is the attachment to sense gratification. That is the one real quality which is really coming out. You know, sense gratification is sometimes okay, but attachment to sense gratification is very bad. Now, somebody does sense gratification, he develops a guilt. And you know, Radhanath Maharaj, he tells that as long as you have that guilt in the heart that I did something wrong, you know, Krishna consciousness is there. When Krishna says that, you know, a devotee is properly situated, that shloka in Bhagavad Gita where he says that even if one falls down, he's properly situated, that refers to the guilt which person carries in his heart. As long as the guilt is there in the heart, the person is properly situated. You know, but attachment to sense gratification means you perform it and then you justify it. That this is all. And that's what Shukracharya is doing. He's giving this huge, and he's quoting scriptures to justify sense gratification. And that's the brilliance. Actually, this verse, I should not speak so much against him. I am a little bit grateful to him also. Actually, this verse, you know, Prabhupada translates that. Where's that line? Is that gone? Especially, is that position, money is taken out without money for that position. One becomes free from utterance of the signifiers. I don't know. There's one line here which Prabhupada says that Om signifies poverty. Here it is. In other words, by using the word Om, one becomes poverty stricken. It's a very powerful line. Actually, I was in Pune for some time back, and you know, my mother has these two Om pictures in her house. And she was convincing me that you take this Om with you. It's very, you meditating on this Om is very. So I just opened this verse and showed her this line. Let's see what Shukracharya says. Om means poverty stricken condition. So she immediately accepted that. So anyway, I don't know whether it was misuse of scriptures. But, you know, but Shukracharya is obviously misquoting scriptures. And the basic cause why he's doing that is because of his attachment to sense gratification. So that's what I realized that, you know, all of us, you know, we have this wonderful opportunity to take to the process of Krishna consciousness. And there's one more point which I wanted to mention. We were talking about the purchasing power of Koloja Sridhar. And then later on, regarding another Vaishnava, Vasudev Dutt, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mentioned that Vasudev Dutt, I like him so much that to anyone he sells me, I am sold. So forget about purchasing. A devotee can even sell Krishna. That is the power. So sometimes when you distribute Bhagavad Gita, you know, people say that how can you sell Krishna? Bhagavad Gita is Krishna. But you know, this is my speculation. Because Srila Prabhupada is pure devotee, to anyone Prabhupada sells Krishna, Krishna is sold. There is no harm in even selling Bhagavad Gita, which is written by Srila Prabhupada. Other Bhagavad Gitas you may not sell, because they may not be written by pure devotees. But this particular Bhagavad Gita, as it is, you know, you can rightfully sell it, although we are just selling in the printing cost. You know, but you can't, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says to anyone, you know, he can translate it, to anyone Prabhupada sells me, I am sold. So what I was trying to understand is, this is what Prabhupada is giving us. And Prabhupada can sell you Krishna and make you sell that Krishna to hundreds of people. Again, that's his power. Now that is further quality of the great Vaishnava. So this is the purchasing power of a devotee, right? So he is giving us that Bhagavad Gita. We have the capacity to read that Bhagavad Gita and we can understand it. But if we somehow maintain that attachment to sense gratification, you know, that Bhakti Sanswara Thakur explains that langar, you know, that story of that that hook. If it remains that, you know, we may not be able to really progress. That Sahaj Bhakti is actually there because, you know, Gaurang Prabhu was just telling me. Gaurang Prabhu was telling me and telling us in Pune, those of you who were there in Pune, Ram Katha. He was telling about this, in Sri Sampradaya, they have this Bhudevi and Sri Devi. So the Acharyas, they explained that why both deities are standing next to Lord Narayan. He says, because the living entity in his life, he has performed so many sinful activities that the living entity, when he comes to Krishna, Krishna is gets, you know, disgusted. And I don't want to look at you. So he looks here. So then Sri Devi is there. So he becomes happy. And Sri Devi says, no. You know, he might have refused you, rejected you for lifetimes, but at least now he has come. No, please accept him. Please be merciful to him. He has now come. And then he becomes a little disgusted with Sri Devi's opinion also. So he looks here. And there is Bhudevi. And then Bhudevi, he asks, you know, Bhudevi ji, what do you feel? Sri Devi is saying that, you know, excuse him. He's a very, he deserves mercy. And Sri Devi says, Bhudevi says, no, I have completely different opinion. I don't think that he's a sinful person. So Lord Narayan says that, oh, very nice. At least I knew you would, you know, be on my side. She says, but I see that you are there in his heart, therefore he is already a saintly person. So you please give him your mercy. So both with Shridevi and Bhudevi, Lord Narayan has to give you mercy. So there is no chance for him. So what I am trying to say is that natural attraction for Krishna and Krishna both are already there in your heart. And Srila Prabhupada with his power has given us the ability to awaken that loving attraction for Krishna. Actually, Dayamaru Swami Maharaj was saying that this Bali Maharaj, he comes in the category of Krupa Siddha. He's not a Sadhana Siddha, he's a Krupa Siddha. Therefore, because of Prahlad Maharaj's connection. So I've heard some time back in ISKCON, some devotee was speaking, some sannyasi. And he said, every Vaishnava in ISKCON is a Krupa Siddha because of our connection to Srila Prabhupada. And therefore, we have the ability to awaken that pure love for Krishna. But we have to give up this attachment to sense gratification and the tendency to justify it. So let the goal of our life be yena kena prakarena mana Krishna niveshet. If the opportunity comes to surrender, you know, we want to utilize it and do the best. And recently I heard this Gaurang Prabhu's Bhagavatam class and he was mentioning this point. It really touched me very much. He said this shloka, etava janma safalyam dehinam iha dehishu pranir arthe dhiya asha dhiya vacha shreya acharanam sada. So any of these four things he was saying, any of these four things, prane, arthe, dhiya, vacha, one should not be miserly in offering them to Krishna. If it comes to prane, one should not be miserly in offering them to Krishna. It comes to intelligence, don't be miserly in offering them to Krishna. You know, if you have vacha, don't be miserly in offering them to Krishna. And to the extent a person is not miserly in offering them to Krishna, to that extent Krishna also reciprocates. He also reciprocates back. So, you know, we have to just remember this one thing, that, you know, let's not be attached to sense gratification and let's not use this, let's not put forward these reasons of why I don't want to surrender. Like, you know, like mother and father or so many other reasons. Whatever capacity, we should also always try to surrender. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Any questions I am scared of asking? Any comments if anybody has, you can please give. ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय, शिल प्रभुपाद की जय, अनंत कोटि वैष्णव की जय।